Again, I will call this meeting to order. Oraloma Sanitary Board meeting of Tuesday, March 10th. I'll ask Dr. Simon if he would lead us
Roll
in
call, please.
pledge after we do the roll call. We can do the pledge now. Yes. I'm Arielle.
I pledge allegiance.
Thank you. Pledge.
To the flag of the
Thank you.
United
United
States
States
of
of
America
America.
and
Into
to the
their republic
republic
for
which
which it
stands,
stands, one nation, under God,
indivisible,
indivisible,
with
with
liberty
liberty
and
and
justice
justice for all.
That's the only thing I mess up tonight. So I would ask for a roll call, please.
Certainly. Director Simon.
Present.
Director Dean.
Here.
Secretary Duncan.
Present.
Vice President Lee.
Present.
President Young.
Present. Thank you very much. Well, we've already done the Pledge of Allegiance. I note that we have one general member, or maybe two public members. Do we know if either one of them want to speak?
One of them is Matt Turner with Turner Communications, and I'm not sure, Michael, if you would like to make a, is that Mike Nelson, or is that your Michael, or no?
Is Mike on the call?
Hey, Michael. All right, I'll jump to the chase. It is time for general public.
If you'd like to make a public comment, please raise your hand at whichever item you'd be interested in making a comment on, if any. Thank you.
I don't see anyone who speaks wants to speak under general public comment, so we will move on. Yeah. You want to turn your microphone on, please?
Yes, the member of the public, since we don't know who it is, do we have Zoom bomb protection?
I already asked.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Just confirming. Thank you.
I asked.
Thank you. Item five is consent calendar, which includes the minutes from the board meeting of February 24. And that is all that's on consent tonight. Any questions, comments? If not, I would entertain a motion to approve consent.
So moved.
Director Duncan will second.
I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion carries. Five ayes. Thank you. Welcome. All right, we're going to move to item six presentation. We'd like to welcome Mr. Roland Williams from Castro Valley Sanitary. And I'll turn this meeting over to you, Mr. Williams.
Can I do a quick intro, Director Young?
Yes, I'm sorry. Oh, Mr. Dang, I completely forgot that you were online, so my apologies. So I will turn this meeting over to Mr. Dang, our general manager.
Yeah, I just wanted to provide an introduction to this item. This was ahead of the discussion related to the San Lorenzo Unified School District MOU that we'll be discussing after this presentation. The board has had a lot of commentary about CVSAN and their program, the outreach program, which I also feel Roland does a great job in all the work he's done building up that program over the many decades. And ahead of our MOU discussion, I thought it'd be prudent, staff thought it'd be prudent to have him come and talk to our board about their program and not only what they're doing, but the level of effort it took to get to where they are at now. So that's why he's here. That's why I invited him. He's graciously here to help support this discussion. So I will now turn it over to my colleague, Roland Williams.
Check. Is this on? Can you hear me? Can you
hear
me over
there?
All right. Thank you, Jimmy, for that introduction, and thank you for the kind words. Thank you, board, for having me here today. I'm here at your behest. I'm willing to kind of go over our most recent framework. Jimmy had asked me to kind of talk a little bit about the history of our outreach program. I know that you guys have been involved in outreach with your community. We've been involved with outreach in our community since the mid-90s. We started our outreach program with the development of like AB 939, if anybody remembers that from way back when. And in the 80s and in the 90s, when recycling became more important and looking for ways to communicate that to the community. At the same time, little old Castro Valley, nobody knew we existed. Actually, at that time, we literally, our office was in a house that was about 2,500 square feet. So our community did not know that we even existed. We had did some, some phone surveys back then, and everybody thought that the sewer services were provided by the county, or by East Bay Mud or some other entity. We used to call ourselves CVSD, in which people thought that was the school district. So around 97, we decided we needed to do a better job of communicating who we were to the community. So we started outreaching out into the community just so that there was a general awareness of who we were. At the same time, because we were trying to promote a lot of our solid waste services, particularly around recycling, we started having programs and engagements at schools. At that point, we hired on a solid waste manager and an intern to help start with our schools programs and outreach programs. At the same time, when we were trying to focus our attention on the schools, we also started a program that was called Wastewater Wise. And so the schools program first started with third graders. Our Wastewater Wise program started with fifth graders. We worked, oh gosh, it was probably a couple of years that we had to work with the schools before we were able to get our programs into schools. Back then, schools were very driven to tests. And so to try to work any sort of program into the schools, there was very little space for us at during that time, because everything was being there was as you remember, they were being taught to a test. But we thought that this was really important, so we started making headway. Primarily, we had the person who was our solid waste manager also was a teacher, and so she was able to understand what the curriculum requirements were for the schools, and then to be able to integrate into the schools by looking at the curriculum, making connection to those curriculums. And then we were able to start having our programs both with the wastewater and the solid waste, primarily around recycling. That was when we started making paper too. So for kind of as an activity for the kids to do as something that was going to be engaging for them. In 2001 was when we were one of the first entities to start bringing in food waste into our green waste, which the community, they went nuts over that. They thought that was crazy to put chicken bones and stuff in the green waste. And so that required us to level up our communication efforts at that point. Two things happened during that time. We kind of focused all of our attention then on the solid waste efforts. We had dropped the Wastewater Wise program for two reasons. One, because we wanted to focus more on the solid waste, and two, because we really didn't have any staff to do the wastewater education. And there wasn't an appetite to bring a staff member on for wastewater outreach. So our outreach program for wastewater, in terms of with the schools, kind of went away. But that was also when we birthed our 4 Rs program, where now, because of the organics and the recycling, then we started to have more of a fully baked out program where we had, that's where we started having the field trips to our campus. with the paper making. And that's been something that we've been doing ever since, continuing to enhance it. And we're doing it to this day in our new facility on Center Street. And so, that's kind of the arc of the program. So it's been a program that has been in place for almost 30 years now, about 27 years. So it's really a matured program where we're working with the schools. We also do our Green Ribbon, which is a program where the schools are able to get funding from us if they fill out the application, go through all the steps that are required, and then able to post their diversion numbers for their schools, then we are able to give a certain amount of money to that campus. And then we also give a certain amount of money to the schools. Usually it's somewhere between $1,000 and up to about $1,800 per school site, and then that's matched with what goes to the school, to the school district as well. So those programs have been pretty well received with the schools. I know at our joint meeting, Naomi kind of talked about all of the outreach efforts that we've had over the years. So I don't know that I want to bore you with all of those programs. I think if you have any questions or about that, I'm certainly happy to answer those questions. As I mentioned before, our program is a pretty mature program and, quite frankly, a bit expensive. And so one of the things that we embarked on in 2024, as our 5-year strategic plan was coming to an end, we revamped our strategic plan. And then we introduced our communications framework, which I think was included in the packet. A couple things that I will say about that is, when we hired Mike Nelson as our outreach specialist, one of the things we wanted to do, again, to continue to bolster our wastewater outreach program, was we hired another consultant to do another study with another survey to get an understanding of what is the awareness of our wastewater programs. What was the opportunities for improvement, and how should we focus our messaging to the community around our wastewater operations? And that became the underpinning for we actually did a wastewater communications plan. And it was a 3-year plan, and that plan was to dovetail in with our zero waste outreach plan as well. God bless you. And because the goal was to bring all those together so that then we would have this plan, which would be more of a global outreach plan for all of the district. Because the way we were doing it prior to that, we had like a wastewater plan with a budget, and then we had a zero waste plan with a budget. And so structurally, there was the siloing of that, right? So what we found was that sometimes, if we were only doing, the zero waste outreach, it could have also benefited the wastewater outreach side as well. So we were thinking we were missing opportunities sometimes, whether or not if we were only focusing on wastewater or only focusing on zero waste. So that was a reason why this plan that's before you was to try to do two things. One was to de-silo those outreach efforts and make it one. And two, to really look at what programs are the most efficient and cost-effective to see how we might be able to reduce our overall outreach budget and efforts so that we can still have the same reach, have the same message delivery, but do it more efficiently. And I'm happy to walk you through that document that you have if you would like.
Of course.
All right. Any questions so far? I know you got a question, Rita.
I mean, you talk about your survey. How did you administer it? Was it just paper? Did you actually talk to, some of the residents?
So that was a telephone survey. We
Okay.
hired a firm called Wallen. I think they're out of Southern California. And so, yes, you can still get a telephone survey done.
Okay.
I don't know how they do it, but they are able to contact people both on landlines and on cell phones. That is a really good effort that isn't, and as you know, when you're doing surveys, the trick is how you write the questions so they're not leading, and that we really worked on that to make sure that the questions were relatively neutral so that we could get, good feedback. Then it by it being a third party that did it, so they did it, provided us back the data. I think the survey is public as well, right? The survey feedback, that was all public information too, I believe. If you'd like to see that, because it was really eye-opening to see how, remember before when I said nobody knew who we were? Well, when we did this survey in like 2019 or 2020, people at least knew who we were. And they knew that we provided the wastewater services in Castro Valley, which was great. And then they also knew that we were the franchise holder for the solid waste services in the community. They also knew that we did a lot of outreach for zero waste as well.
And so my second question is, how do you use stop waste in your education, in your engagement with your, or do you use them? Because let me just, I should preface my statement, because my understanding that all fourth graders go to the transfer, and I'm just wondering, how do you incorporate that into working with the students?
I would say that because our program is built the way it is, we've probably underutilized some of stop waste services. That's something we're looking at right now. And that's a great point. We're looking at how we can integrate things that stop waste is they're a great resource
I know.
for a lot of different programs. I will say that a lot of those programs were built after we had built ours. And so there was kind of a desire to continue to go on with our programs. But in this framework, it gives us a chance to pause. And we are looking at all the opportunities through Stop Waste to use those programs to kind of take that burden off of us and to be able to partner with them. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Couple of questions that don't have a lot to do with what you just said, but are you, like us, a sole source for your income? So your property tax, your residents pay, the property tax they pay is what pays for your service.
So you're talking about solid waste or wastewater? Okay, so wastewater, yes. Our sewer service charges are placed on the tax roll. And so then we do get the funding for that through the county. And the solid waste services that are performed in our community, which are ACI, then we get a franchise fee in which ACI pays us directly.
We both organizations, do we still get money from 939?
I do think we get a little bit of money from 939. What I thought you were going to ask me was a different question. I know you asked about tax rolls. So we still get a portion of the 1% property tax. We still get that. And I know that Oro Loma does not. Yeah. Yes.
Could be because your county.
Yeah.
I mean, I.
Yeah. I know that we had an opportunity to opt out of that around 95 or something.
Yeah,
It
you
was
did.
just before I started the district. but they decided not to. Yeah, we do get a little bit of money from the county for that.
Mentioned something about paper making. What does that mean?
So as part of our for our field trips, when the kids come to the to our building and they take a tour, we tell them all about the four R's. We talk to them about the three P's, and then as a activity, because they're kids, right? I'll tell you, I remember we used to do kind of a field trip, and we had all the kids sitting in seats, right? And we were up talking and doing all this kind of thing. And I just remember all the kids, they were like sitting there swinging their feet. They were just like looking
Bored.
all around. We did two things. We said, hey, A, get those chairs out of there because the third graders can sit on the floor, number one. So we got rid of the chairs. And number two, you got to have something for kids to do. And then again, the person that started the program back in the 90s said, what better thing to do that communicates, you know, how you can, we would make a slurry out of, we'd rip up paper, basically put it in a slurry, put it in a blender. And then the kids would be able to take and kind of, you would, the way it's processed is they'd have a board and you kind of are able to lay the strips of paper out and with a little bit of glue and that you can just kind of, you can make new paper. And it was just, and all the kids, they loved it. They had a lot of fun with it. It was something that kept them engaged. When you're talking about third and fourth and fifth graders, if you want them to sit in a chair and look at you for 45 minutes, it's going to be a disaster. So we found that you gotta get the kids engaged. We have a 4R dance, and now we have a 3P's chant, and then we have the paper making because, you know, about every 5 minutes or so, you've got to do something with those kids. And that engages them. And I tell this story about our field trips. I don't ever consider myself to be old until I'll be out. And I've been in LA and somebody says, oh, you're from Castro Valley? And it'd be some guy with a big old beard and everything. And he says, I was there in the third grade. And I'm like, how old are you? And if you're 30 years old, yeah, I was there when you were in the third grade. So, and it's really made an impact on a lot of people over the years. And it's kind of fun to run into somebody of a certain age that remembers coming to coming to the district to and they always remember making the paper. They always remember making the paper, and they always remember coming to the district and seeing the big trucks and all that kind of thing. So yeah.
I thought it was on. I mean, does it come and go by itself? Thank you. We've only had these microphones for, I don't know, 4 years, and we still can't get used to them. How many schools do you have in Castro Valley that you serve?
17, 17, 18 with the adults, with the 18 with the 18 with the adult school. Yeah. So it's 18.
You deal with all the adult school as well?
Public and private. Yeah. We don't do that much directly with the adult school in terms of the field trips or things like that, but we deal with all the schools on some level. Yeah. Even at the high school. And I think we talked about that before. We're at the high school, we're doing more like we're doing waste audits and things like that. So we're engaging with the high schoolers in a different way. But we still have a presence there. And it's kind of interesting to see because, again, most of them, we had a touch point earlier on in the third grade. They remember that. And then, of course, if any of them are, which I can't imagine any of them aren't. If they have a cell phone and they've gone to YouTube, then they've seen at least our 3P's bumpers, or they've seen even some of our other bumpers for CV San, because has been a really a good touch point for us using social media as a way to communicate with our community.
Else, Director Lee.
Yes, thank you. And I have a series of questions, but then I'm going to jump on one question. So, when you did the telephone survey, what was the length of the survey and how many respondents did you have?
So the length of the survey, I think, was about 10 minutes. And we tell them at the beginning that it's about 10 minutes, and you want it to be 10 minutes. People, I mean, they're like looking at their watch or something, because at 11 minutes, they are done with you. So it's about 10 minutes, and usually people are in for that. And the second question was
A number of respondents who actually responded.
Respondents. We actually had a very high respondent rate, enough where we felt as though the response was pretty significant. I think it was north of 300. So we had a really good response that we were able to rely on the data.
Wonderful. And I remember the program, the presentation that Naomi provided. So the question that I have is, and there's multiple parts to it, is number of programs over the years and their funding sources, right? Well, so just number of programs and the various funding sources, right? And the number of them that has retired and the number of them that has continuity, basically.
Yeah, that's a great question. Number of programs, I don't know if I have that right off the top of my head. Again, the framework, I will say most of the programs that we've done, we've continued in some fashion. So we've talked about the schools program. Those programs have had different iterations, but we've been doing the schools programs for the last almost 30 years. We do a Recycles Day, which is the program we do up at Canyon Middle School. That program has been going on since around 99. We used to do it at our office. We outgrew our office at Marshall Street. It spilled over into when Rite Aid was Rite Aid. That became too big. We wound up like basically closing down Marshall Street, which people weren't happy about that. We were looking for another site. We had done it up at the adult school for a couple of years, and the adult schools, if you've ever been to the adult school in Castro Valley, it's a pretty small campus. So we actually kind of outgrew that site as well. And then ultimately we went to Canyon Middle School, which has a much larger footprint, and we were able to do it there. So the Recycles Day program is something that we've been doing for the last 25 years at least. We started doing some other of our other programs. The Zero Waste Week, we started probably about 10, 12 years ago. That program, we're actually sunsetting that program now. All of our programs have been pretty steady state with variations based on feedback that we get. Every time we do an event, we try to get feedback, what's working, what's not working, both from the attendees, from the staff that's working the event, from the board members that have attended the event. And then we look at ways to improve the event. I'll give you an example at the Recycles Day. So it used to be first come, first serve in terms of participating in the event, and the event started at like 8 o'clock in the morning. So everybody lined up at 8 o'clock. So even though Canyon Middle Schools is a very large campus, we'd have a line of cars that go all the way down onto, what is that, Crow Canyon, all the way, Cull Canyon, all the way down to Crow Canyon. It was a mess. We had to call for CHP to help deal with the traffic. Our first iteration of dealing with that was actually hiring CHP to be on site to try to manage the traffic. Because there were so many people there that were right at the beginning, and then as the day progressed, it kind of tailed off. Currently, we have a reservation program where, we have like blocks of time. So we've basically spread those that traffic out across the day. And then we make sure that we have enough capacity if it's whether it's compost giveaway or the collection of HHW, shredding, pharmaceuticals, whatever the items that we have that we're engaging with, we just make sure that we have enough capacity to deal with that throughout the day. So that has helped with us being able to have less traffic, less wait. And one of the things, again, if we're trying to be good environmentalists, we don't want to have, 80 cars sitting there for 2 hours just running, so this was really a good solution to that problem. But it manifested another problem, and that is our throughput is only but so much. We can only get about 1,300 people through the event, which then what we pivoted then was now we do two events. We do one in April and we do one in July, which is great, but it winds up being a small fraction of our population. So one of the things we're looking at in the framework is how can we offer these same solutions, but not hold it on just one day. So we're talking about partnering back with Stop Waste on things like HHW. Maybe we have a HHW day where we want everybody to go to Clawitter and have the event there and really promote the HHW drop-off location so people know where it is, things like that. Because that way we're utilizing their services. We're also educating our community on where it is exactly, and then people can start to utilize that event. A lot of times we do shredding, which is also a big thing. A lot of people like bringing up boxes and boxes of items to shred. But one of the other things we've been tracking is that like a lot of banks will do a shred day as well. And so we're seeing how could we partner with them, promote their events, and have our residents be made aware of that. So instead of us actually, putting all these events, we can be a conduit for where these other events are happening, hopefully reducing our overhead and giving greater access to the community.
Still embedded within that question, it was, the various funding sources, because I recall Naomi was telling me that she doesn't charge her time to one funding source. It's just actually grants and whatever other funding sources. So what are the funding sources that are charged to in terms of these programs?
Firstly, we do use all our Measure D funds every year from Stop Waste. We also will use so we have a whole host of grant funding that we use. Primarily, that is what we use to fund most of our outreach. We do have built into our contract for with ACI that we have some money set aside for outreach and special events. And I think that's around $20,000 or $30,000 a year, somewhere in that neighborhood. We've been primarily using that to fund the Recycles Day events. Our main goal is to use grant funding, then use the special outreach funding that we have that's part of our contract, and then lastly, we'll use the contract admin fees that we get from our franchise hauler.
My last question, and this is actually because you talked about the schools, the 18 different schools, and what piqued my interest, or as you mentioned, one adult school and public and private. So, what were some of the challenges that you have with the public schools versus the private schools? Where do you have your greater success, and what are some of the lessons learned?
I'll answer the private school. We have one private school in town, Redwood Christian. The The elementary school. What's the other one? Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Our Lady of Grace, is the other private school in town. The interesting thing about the private schools is they're very aware of like separation of church and state doctrine, right? So they welcome us doing partnerships with them. But like for instance, when we do the field trips, a lot of times we will pay for the buses. They won't take that payment. They feel like that's crossing the line for them. But I don't think I think I don't think there's any unique challenges between the whether the private schools or the public schools, except that, you know, like I said, I think the biggest challenges are making sure you're coming along in alignment with their curriculum. It's not a day off when they come to the tour. They want it to be something that supports the curriculum. And so that took us a while to figure out, because that's where you get the resistance. We thought it was something else, but it's really about that. Because, like, again, teachers' time is tight, and they've got a lot of things to communicate to the kids every year. And so if they're going to take a day out of their schedule to engage with us, they want to know that it's adding value to that.
Jumping into that, you said it took a while, right? Because it sounds like that was a lesson learned. How, what was the timing on that?
Like I said, it's probably took us 2 years to initially get into the schools. And then, you know, with the different iterations from the first programming that we did in the 90s, and we kind of shifted a little bit in the early 2000s, it took a lot of work. And then again, I think the other thing that was important to us, like I said, was having an educator on the team that really understood the language and the drivers that the schools are that they need to hear to support the program is really important. I'll also jump over to the Green Ribbon. So in the Green Ribbon program, one of the things that's required there is that they have recycling and organics in their schools. When we started this program, schools just had garbage cans. And so that was another big hurdle. A lot of schools will have the recycling, I'm sorry, they'll have the garbage and recycling. Not all schools have organics, particularly throughout the schools. So having an organics container can be a challenge for the custodians. They're usually contracted employees. They have a routine. And if you add another commodity to that routine, that can be challenging. And we had some real concerns and issues with that at the beginning. One of the things that we did that I think was really successful, that again, something we still do, is we went to the custodians. We talked to them. We said, hey, you guys are part of the solution. And this is really gonna help your campus, help the schools, and really encouraging them to be part of the how we're gonna address this issue. We had pizza parties and things like that as we were setting it up. And now we do an annual custodian recognition event at the end of the year. Christy goes to it just about every year that she's been on the board. And I will tell you the number of custodians that attend, because it's about at the end of the year, and you know, and they don't have to be there. But now it's an overflow event. Like every custodian wants to be there. We recognize custodians for different things that they've done. And so they really, really enjoy it. One or two of the superintendents from the school comes out. Several of our board members come out. And so now they're not only on board, but they're advocates, right? They are champions of the event. We've had to invest in some of the carts and things that they need to be able to have these other commodities separated. But now they're all in, and they look forward to seeing us when we come.
Anybody else? Director Dean?
Well, I'm kind of interested in.
I'm sorry. Can you introduce
board
member, please?
This is Christy Duman-Wirtz from the board. I had mentioned we had a workshop on last night. And last week I had mentioned that I was coming down. Christy had asked, could she tag along? And I said, sure.
Thank you. It's nice to have you here, Christy. I think we all know her, but I did want to acknowledge her presence.
Well, Christy is the head of our, she's the chair of our outreach communications committee. And as you can tell, I'm looking back at her because she knows this stuff about as good or better than me. So she's the one telling me, oh no, two schools, not one. Yeah.
Thank you. Now I'll turn it over to Director Dean.
Okay, thank you. So I'm kind of interested in the financial piece mm-hmm. in relation between Castro Valley Sand and the school district. And I remember from, I think it was the Green Schools.
Green Ribbon, yeah.
Yes, that celebration you guys had last year. I kind of think I remember maybe one high school didn't meet their goal.
Yeah, there was a school right?
Didn't meet the goal,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So I know like we're working on our MOU tonight. And I'm just kind of wondering how that all plays in when most of the schools meet the goal, but one school doesn't. Is it all or nothing? How do you deal with that financial piece? So
each school submits independently. And we have times where a school doesn't either. If I remember correctly, the school that didn't meet, it was a timing thing. And so they basically missed the deadline. They wanted to participate, but we did have a deadline that we were trying to meet. Sometimes we will have all 18 schools. Sometimes we'll have 16 schools. So the schools that participate and meet the criteria will get the funding. And those that don't, they won't get it for that year, but they're able to reapply next year.
I'm more interested in like the franchise agreement part of it. Like I get the part where
sure.
the school gets like the 1K to 1800. Mm-hmm. I get all that. I'm interested in the franchise agreement part. Like our franchise agreement states that the schools have to have a program. They have to have a recycling program and it has to be in compliance and it needs to be monitored for compliance at all times.
Okay.
So how do you do that to make sure they're doing it, to make sure that they do indeed deserve, unless that's not part of your franchise agreement, that they do deserve to get their programs for free because you give the services for free.
So right? We give the services for free, yes. But we do not have an MOU with the schools.
You don't have an MOU?
So we do not have an MOU with the schools.
You coerce them into getting
one. I think it's all the things that I'm saying here. That sounds a little bit, I'll put this in simple terms. That sounds a little bit like a stick, which is okay. Our program is more of a carrot. And as Christy had mentioned earlier, we have this 90%+ participation rate that was ahead of 1383. There was no 1383 25 years ago. And so we were doing these programs because we wanted to engage with the students and the schools. And so we honestly just have developed a partnership with the schools. And the schools have been participating ever since. We annually make a presentation to the school superintendent board. We go before the board. We explain all of the programs that we're doing with the schools, and the schools have been incredibly supportive of us over the years. And the big driver is because we're giving them the recycling and organics services at no cost. That's a big incentive for the school district to participate.
Yes, I agree. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Roland. Very nice presentation. Quick question. Communication. Just notice your truck on the picture here. Do you ever advertise on your trucks on the big side?
Yeah, we do. So there's a sign, it's cut off, right? There's a sign on the back of the truck, on all the ACI trucks. Unfortunately, that one's cut off. But there's like, right, there's a little placard. You know what I'm talking about on the back of their trucks? On the side there. And every year we work with them as to what will be the signage on the side of the truck. Usually our side, the what we put there is not about CV sand per se, but it's about the messaging that we want to communicate to the community. So like when it's a green waste truck, the sign might say "Feed the Green" or something like that. So it's thematic to what that truck is. Is that what we're trying to communicate and how we use the signage on the vehicles?
Thank you. That's all my questions.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Of the packet that you sent, and I'm glad you didn't go through and read it.
Okay. I was going to if you want it.
Christy, do you have any comments you want to make?
Whole bunch.
Pass her the microphone.
All right. I actually am also here just in case you had any additional questions, since I do chair this committee. And
I think we probably exhausted Mr. Williams. No, I know we didn't exhaust him. Yes, I do know you better than that.
Christy, I had a question. You know, Roland had mentioned at the beginning there was a teacher doing the solid waste stuff, and I don't know how long that person was. That a long-term relationship? Was that a short-term relationship? I'm just wondering, because teachers really do know how to talk to kids, right? I think it's an important piece. So if you could discuss that a little, I'd like to hear about it.
I was not on the board at the time. However, I think that there was an effort to look at state standards and to look at aligning the field trip around a state standard, which is part of the reason why it's in third grade. And there was a person that had experience in education to kind of develop the lesson plan around the field trip. So there was teacher input as to what the content of the field trip entails. I don't know if I should, but so our Green Ribbon program is done every year. There's an assembly at every school. And so I think that looking at that, because the field trip is only for third grade. And so our Green Ribbon program is done at every single school and basically is talking about to the children about what goes where. Because I think that not only do we provide the bins, but we also have to educate the students so that they know what goes where.
That's every year?
Well, there's an introductory larger assembly, and then there are what we call refreshers. So there's a 30-minute refresher, because the other thing is that annually, the rules change. So, for instance, milk cartons used to go in one bin. Now this year they go in a different bin. And so to make sure that the students are educated and they participate in the program, important, because they're the ones that are putting the stuff, you know, in the different bins. So
I'm a real believer in teaching and then reteaching, evaluating and reteaching, right? That's what we do. So thank you. So you do one big program and then you do one refresher a year, or you do more refreshers, or you do it as needed, or what's the story?
So it's on a schedule. But if we also see that, if there's reports saying that, you know, the students aren't putting things in the right bins, you know, it might change. But usually they introduce the program and then they do refreshers.
Who is they?
The staff.
Your staff. It's not a consulting firm. It's not a group that comes in and does a play. It's your staff.
And the goal at the beginning of the year is to, I'm not sure what the deadline is to get all of the schools up, but I know that the beginning of the school year, it's just a very fast pace of going from one school to the next to make sure that all of the refreshers are done in a timely manner.
Do you have a lot of signage at your schools, like on the cans or like in the bathrooms or anything like that? Can you talk a little bit about the signage?
Yes, we have signage. And also, that's at all of the schools. And then, for instance, like at the high school, the environmental club also participates in helping, you know, put out the signs and things like that. So there's a multi-layer approach to the outreach within the school's programs.
I know your program's incredible. I admire it very greatly. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Christy, for your comments. Mr. Dang, did you have any comments you want to add?
I don't, just to say thank you to CVSAN for being here and presenting today.
Yeah, we really appreciate you taking the time, Roland. You're welcome to stay. We have a very long meeting ahead of us.
You're all night, okay?
Thank you again for the presentation. We're going to move on to item 7. Which is the Orloma Santa Lorenzo School MOU discussion. I'll turn this over to Mr. Dang.
Yes, so the board had, this item was on the board agenda probably a month ago to discuss what additional requests the board may have in these discussions with San Lorenzo Unified School District that the staff's having with them to develop this MOU. At the time, the board provided a couple of comments. One was to adjust the training with staff, not make it twice a year, but make it quarterly. That's been incorporated into this document. In addition, there was a comment made to include a statement related to the school, this whole program, promoting a culture of environmental stewardship and sustainable resource management throughout the school community. So those have been added in this document. The board did ask staff to bring it back today because they wanted more time to review it and to provide more insight to the staff so we know, so we can bring that to school district staff to talk more about this.
Alex, do you want to add anything? You helped write this document, did you not? You did not. Wow, I'm impressed.
You know, no.
Amazing. lightening up a little bit.
So what would you like for us to do at this point, Mr. Dang? Do you want us to give our additional comments regarding this document?
Yeah, so we need to be able to share this, some version of this draft MOU to the school district for their comments. And I want to make sure that today the board thinks that this is a good draft to bring to them, or if you feel that there's more you want to add as far as requirements go or anything you want to take away, whatever it is that the board desires, I want to make sure that we capture all of that so that we can bring the complete draft to the school district for discussion. And this won't be the last time that we talk about this. They may have more comments about the MOU and comments about what we're asking them to do, in which case we will bring back to this board for additional discussion and the comments that they would probably provide.
Okay, so I just want to make it clear that the school has, whoever you're negotiating with, they have seen this document before, correct? Didn't they make some changes to the document themselves?
They may have comments to the requirements that we're asking, yes.
Previously. Okay, all right. So I'll throw this out to the board then. Comments? I know, Director Dean, you must have some. Would you please go right ahead?
All right, so I did make a comment last time that I thought this was way too vague. So
yes, I remember that.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say that because you didn't say that. And I feel like, are we up here supposed to make it not vague, or is staff supposed to not make it vague? I mean, it seems like it looks pretty much like it did last time. So I just need some clarity.
So the question, yeah. So the question I asked the board last time when that comment was made was, what is it that's vague about the document that you wish that staff will change? And so the two comments that we received from the board at that meeting were the two trainings to make that quarterly, and also from Director Simon, the statement about environmental stewardship. And that those are the only two comments I received related to the question about it being vague. So if there are things in here that Director Dean, you feel are vague specifically, it would be very helpful if you let us know what it is you think is vague so we can incorporate that and try to help this process along.
All right. So I think the site level training 2.2 site school site contacts coordinate site level training. I'd like to actually have a laundry list of what the training looks like. Not just we're going to come in once a year, or we're going to come in every quarter. I'd like to know what's going to happen. That would help me understand this better. I'd like to know how we're going to communicate with the schools. Are we going to be emailing? Are we going to, I don't know how we're going to communicate with them. I feel like a lot of times when you email, you know, teachers get so many emails a day, that doesn't always work. So what's our strategy? And I'm wondering what Castro Valley SAM did to get their program started. And if we could kind of figure that out, because maybe that would help us if we looked in, or if we looked at like what other districts have done that have really great school programs, what that communication and what that site level training looks like. Distribute available classroom resources. So what does that mean? What are the available resources?
Okay, so you want specificity about details on what is involved in the training so far, and also as far as available resources, what documentation we're providing, what flyers or anything like that. You want the specifics of what that includes, correct?
Well, I want like resources, like I was in my barn today and I was cracking up because here's a bunch of my, what are these called? VHS. Kids talking trash, do the rot thing, go to the source, waste prevention, doing the 4 R's. This is the kind of stuff we used to get. Okay. And these are from 2003. Can you believe I still have them? Yup. So I just feel like, what are we bringing to the schools? What are we giving them? Are we giving them a piece of paper? You know,
can I ask you a question, Director Dean, so I can understand what you're asking? Are you asking to have those that information put in the MOU, or those are just answers you'd like to have from the staff?
I think some of this needs to be put in the MOU so we know what to expect from one another.
Well, I'm just asking.
Don't you think? Do you agree? Can he comment? All right, because go ahead, because I have other stuff, but go ahead.
What? Go ahead.
You guys can do freaking practice.
Pass it off between you.
Fabulous.
Well, I just want to add on to Director Dean's comment regarding environmental education and student engagement. Jimmy, as you had mentioned, this is on page 39, item number 10. And you did add the comment at the end of the paragraph, one of these goals to develop a culture of environmental stewardship. But on that item number 10, I think we should be more firm on what we're going to do. Because we say Orlama may provide optional student engagement. That's very iffy. So I think it's Orlama will provide or Orlama shall provide something that we're actually going to do this. So we're going to provide student engagement opportunities to enhance environmental education and awareness, art, writing, video projects, which kind of ties into Director Dean's videos. She just pulled out her VHSs or something like that. School participation is voluntary and strongly encouraged. I don't think it should be voluntary. I think this should be a requirement. I think kids need to be engaged. That's the point. We're trying to educate them and get them involved. So I don't agree with voluntary. So I would like to provide some more detail on this one so it's firmer and elaborates more on exactly what we'll do with them and kind of tying into some of the ideas we heard from Castro Valley today.
I'll be finished quick. Jimmy, I want to thank you for adding the quarterly training of janitors. That was my feedback. But I also believe that we should have a dedicated champion and an assistant for each school. If I read the MOU correctly, you were saying that the principal is the focal point. And sometimes I'm not sure if stuff get distributed down. The other, I think we talked a little bit about this in our solid waste meeting. You know, develop some KPIs that they're aware of what they're going to be measured against. You know, and maybe create a dashboard so we could see the progress that they're making. And, you know, I don't know if it's taking it too much if you're having some kind of a competition, but sometimes when you see how one school is comparing with another, it sometimes make people ratchet up a little bit more. And then this, what happens during the lunchtime when the kids are there? Do the school automatically have lunch monitors that's watching how the kids are getting rid of, you know, the organics? I haven't been in elementary school in centuries. No, my granddaughter's in her 30s. I mean, my daughter's in her 30s. So I don't know if this makes sense, having, you know, part of the team for the school is having lunchroom monitors. And the other is developing some kind of script a little bit to what Director Dean is talking about, having a curriculum that's clear, maybe having monthly topics, working with Stop Waste, you know, to give them a little bit more structured guidance and timelines on activities. And to me, that would be the resources that we're kind of providing. You know, this month we're talking about you know, organics or whatever. And the last is, you know, the incentive for the schools, monetarily incentives for the schools annually if they have met our expectations. So those were my comments. Do I need a more, you need more explanation, Jimmy, or?
Say that last part, I can't hear you.
Do you need more clarity about what I mentioned?
No, thank you.
All right, thank you. So I'm gonna go to number 10, the environmental education and student engagement. I'd like to point out that being voluntary doesn't mesh with our what it says in our franchise agreement, as far as the schools getting their program for free. It's not voluntary. If they don't do it and they don't comply, they don't get it for free. That's what the franchise agreement says. Then I'd also like to say that we should put in when this program is going to start. Is it going to start in pre-K? Is it going to start in kindergarten? I don't know what grade it's going to start. And I think we should have things like Castro Valley has, like, this is what we're going to do in third grade. Here's our fourth grade field trip. Like, and we don't have to like figure this all out like right this second or right away, but we could start a list of how we are going to move through this as a team, right? Like, I just remember from all my years of doing this that we built on what the kids already know. You know, sometimes we had the wiggly worms. You know, the younger classes had the wiggly worms. I was making the paper in my classroom, okay? You know, somebody else, you know, we were doing the waste audits. So just as skill building, and there's curriculum out there. So I'd love to see, I think Director Duncan mentioned something to me the other day about Rosemead or Rosemont or some district in Sacramento that had a great program. Is that correct? What's the name of that district?
I think it's in Roseville.
But
is that one of our the presentations, and I can get their script and as well. And they also made the presentation at the January meeting.
You're talking about
the school program. Remember with the high school kids, and because some of the questions were around safety.
Right.
I know it was up north in the Roseville area. I'm not sure, but we could get.
So we could get that, so we could listen to that or look at that. That's from CASA?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay, cool. And then number 12, I always have a hard time with reasonable deadline. That is way too vague for me. I think we need to put strict within 1 month or 2 weeks, or, you know, kind of figure it out. Like, I'm not saying what it should be, but I think we need to go more than reasonable timeline. And then as far as, you know, I agree with Director Duncan that I really believe, okay, I was the coordinator at my school my whole 32 years, right? I really, unpaid, unever, nothing, right? I didn't care. I did it because this is what I believe in, right? But not everybody's like that, right? So I think it shouldn't be the principal. We should find a teacher at each school, and they should be the person that we're partnering with, and they should be the person that we're finding a way to give some kind of financial incentive for. Because I know there's people out there. We just have to find them. So, you know, I think that's, I don't know, I probably have more comments, but if somebody else would like to make comments, Director Lee?
Director Dean, the program contacts that I'm reading, I don't know what you're...
What number are you at?
Number two, program contacts, where okay. It says the superintendent shall designate a 1383 coordinator, and at the school sites, the principals will designate a school site lead to support. Are you saying that we need to have more designated people than that? It looks like it goes from superintendent to the principal to the school site.
I think we need to cut out the principal. I just think we need to find
points. They're not doing the work. I mean, you know, we have to also consider whether or not schools going to agree with any of this, but we need to make it as attractive as possible for the schools to accept these requirements from us. I mean, what's wrong with the school site lead? Isn't that going to be a teacher?
But I think it needs to have the money attached to it. There needs to be, okay, we're going to have this person, but there needs to be some kind of financial incentive for this person. Because we should not be expecting teachers who already work 10 to 14 hours a day to come to also run a program. You know, I was insane.
Does the board have a suggested dollar amount we can put in this agreement so that...
That would be awesome.
I see your hand. Was that your question is about money?
Yeah, I hear Director Dean saying...
we should
teachers already
a financial
have
incentive.
A lot on the teachers already have a lot on their plate, so there should be some level monetary incentive. Does the board have a suggested amount we can put into this agreement?
I'm sure they do. Director Duncan has her hand up.
I thought that there was an issue because of the union and whether or not we could, you know, pay teachers, and that's why on my recommendation. Is an incentive for the schools.
I think we don't know what.
Okay.
I mean, that is my assumption that is a, you know, an issue they'd have to meet and confer about and do things. Who if multiple people want to sign up, who gets it, that sort of thing. We can always put it in and see what the district says.
Nora did her assessment a year ago. That was one of the things she thought would be a challenge for us. Was that, you know, this union. And I said, well, what about the janitors? And so she says, no, that's different because they get an incentive as also. But yes, I think it's something that we need to get, you know, a valid answer to. But that's why I said maybe the incentive should go to the school. But because originally we had said maybe $1,000 or $1,500. And then we didn't implement it. So based on what Nora had said to us, that there would be some issues with us providing stipends for a teacher. But if we can get over that hurdle, I think it's worthy of us acknowledging their work, you know, financially.
So it sounds like somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 is what you're recommending for each school. How many schools are we talking about, Mr. Dang?
18, isn't it?
Well, 18 is Castro Valley. 22? Is that public and private or just public? Thank you. Go ahead.
I think, but you also need to look at school size. Because if you have a school that...
I'm sorry, I can't hear Director Dean.
If you have a school that has 1,000 kids and you're giving them $1,000 and you have another school that has 150 kids or 200 kids and you're giving them $1,000, that's just not fair. So I think we need to find a way. I know now I'm really going deep in the hole here. We need to find a way to make it more equitable. But I just wanted to say that so we don't lose that piece. So if we gave the money to the schools... all right.
I don't know. The reason I brought it up is that's what was a year ago. That's what was communicated to us. And if that's not true, fine.
We'll look into it.
Right. And that's what I thought we said.
Okay.
And I don't know why we can't do both.
Well, perhaps the MOU could simply say a financial incentive. And then when we find out what the rules are, we can let the schools know what that would be.
But where would we put that in, President Young? Where would that be in program contacts or would that be somewhere else?
I think I would leave that to Mr. Dang to put it where it's appropriate.
Okay, sounds good. Can we talk a little bit about program compliance?
Well, if you want it to be in the, of course you can. I have something similar to what I think you're going to say, but go ahead.
Oh, you go ahead.
No, I know when we talked once before, you said that you wanted to make sure that they understood if they didn't cooperate in our program, then we would be charging them for our services.
That's correct.
And my thought was on the very last paragraph, where it
I'm
says,
looking at
if
number
the
12.
District wishes to discontinue participation in partnership, that there should be something regarding fees for service. I know there is another place in the document where it talks about that there is a fee if they don't participate or non-compliance, but it, you know, I think it's under the 1, 2, 3, third paragraph under number 12, where it says notifying a potential loss of the free services. But I think you could emphasize that in the last paragraph to say that they discontinue the participation, there would be a huge charge.
Yeah, that last paragraph, I see.
Yeah, I think sense. That's the place to put it.
And do we want to say, do they know what their number is?
Oh, I'm quite sure that they do.
They know what their number is.
Doing this a lot.
Okay, I just feel like, but I know, but we've been doing it a long time, but
oh, no, I meant
they've been out of compliance forever. They've never been in compliance. So,
never been in compliance. Well, you shouldn't say that because you were in charge. And the school, the
my
class that you had.
We have, I want to go home sometime tonight.
Yeah, so do I.
Thank you, Director.
And we're not anywhere close to it.
Thank you for that.
So I think we have given Director Lee one more comment.
Well, actually, I had a couple of comments.
We need to cut this off. And
absolutely. No,
to redo the document. That's all.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with any of the other points because I think those points were valid, right? I'm glad that Roland came and gave the presentation because I think there should be some language, and I'll leave it up to staff to find it, you know, alignment with school curriculum, because that was something, that was a consistent message that we got from Roland. He said that several times. So if we can find some way to embed language, particularly to align with their school curriculum, that's an important thing. I think it's important for, you know, designating some, actually two, you know, like at least a minimum of two, because you're going to need a custodial contact, right? And what I heard from Roland was that in some cases they were contractors, right? Which means that you probably have less control because they were contractors. But then if we can embed that language in, right, and whoever the school site lead is, you know, it could be a teacher, it could be somebody else, right? But definitely you want the custodial in there, and I'll leave it to staff to try to figure that out. But alignment and, you know, obviously having that custodial contact, because they're the ones who have to deal with the trash.
Thank you. Director, Mr. Dang, Mr. General Manager Dang, do you have enough now to deal with rewriting or adding information to this document?
Yeah, we'll develop a revised draft based on the comments staff received today. What I would recommend is we bring this back to the board to have a final look before we go to the district, but that's entirely up to the board.
I think it's probably a good idea to let the board look at it one more time.
Okay.
And
thank you.
And And since this is our first foray into doing an agreement with the school district, I think it's important to point out that it's going to take time for us to get to the right level. We are not Castro Valley, and we clean all of Castro Valley's sewers, by the way. So we do twice the work that they do over there. Anyway, so I'll look forward to seeing a new document. Do you want to get it in email, or do you want to see it at a board meeting? Want to see it at our next board meeting?
That's enough time for them.
Well, I don't know. Is there some urgency to, there's some urgency since school, well, school will be out in June, so we've got until next September. Yes, Director Dean.
Could we get it in an email, and then if we had other comments, we could put them in there? Would that work for staff?
It has to be discussed as a board.
All right. So that doesn't work. All right.
Okay. So we'll figure out the method of getting it to the board for another time once you have adjusted the language. Does that work? Janetta is signaling yes as dean. All right. Well, that was a good discussion. Thanks, everyone, for all your input. And thank you to Redwood. Thank you to Castro Valley for their presentation as well. I just have to find my agenda.
Number 8.
I just had to find it. I had to find it in order to read it. Okay, so we're all the way through item 7, and we only have, I don't know, 6 more to go. Post session. So if we could try to keep our discussions limited, it would be helpful. All right, so we'll move to item 8, more discussion. And the first item is the review of BTL Waste Solutions final invoices. Mr. Dang?
Yes, as stated here, Director Dean requested to review this at the board level. So they are attached. I can give a quick overview on this, or if there's any specific comments that the board has, I can address those.
Why don't you give a...
I'm sorry, did I hear anything from the board?
You want to do an overview? Yes, please do an overview.
Yeah. So BTL has had a contract with us for 3 years, starting in 2023-24 timeframe, which was approved by the board. And throughout her contract, she is to be submitting invoices for her work. The invoices you see in front of you, if you go to page 43, on the left, it goes from A to R, and those are all the different line items that are responsibilities that BTL Solutions had in their contract. And within those responsibilities in the contract, she puts the amount of hours spent in each one of those categories, and then on the right, provides a sort of synopsis summary of the activities that took place within that line item for that particular month. So for this particular month, it was 240 hours total. You can see the breakdown in the middle column. If you go to the next page, page 44, it was 189 hours, which was less than full time. But then you go to, sorry for my cough, page 45 and 46, you'll see a jump in the hours, which is the concern of the board, I'm very well aware. And the primary reason why that jumped is because line item R. So line item R says perform other solid waste related duties as directed by the general manager. So during this time, we were going through a transition period to transfer this solid waste program over to an employee who doesn't have the same background as Natasha, BTL Solutions did. And my instruction and direction to BTL was, I need you to spend as much time as possible to train our employee so that we can be as successful as possible during this transition. The work included not only meeting with our administrative services manager, I believe almost daily, but during that time also doing the full-time job that she was contracted to do. So during that time, it was training. She details out the summary of activities on the right-hand column, which states transition program to Janetta, organize the solid waste files. That would be our server files, which took a lot. It needed to work. Update the solid waste reference guide. We have a spreadsheet that details out where all of these documents are, where our employees can refer to. And in addition, aside from that, we were still dealing with the cart replacement project and trying to wrap that up. And she was also managing the audit as well, until at which point it was fully transitioned over to Janetta when BTL Solutions services were ended, which was October 30th, November 1st, the end of October. So that's the summary. Happy to answer any questions.
Can I make a
Director
comment?
Duncan?
Yes. Yeah, I guess what concerns me, Jimmy, is the comment that you made to me yesterday when you said that you had instructed her to, for the cost of her airfare, to convert it to hours worked. That bothered me tremendously, because that is fraudulent, number one, and we need to make sure that we have receipts, and that for airfare or whatever that we're paying for her. I have no issues with us paying for her airfare or whatever, but if the person is putting in hours to cover up costs for expenses, that's a violation of IRS laws, from my understanding as an HR person. So I have a, that's why I have a problem with all these large number of hours.
Okay. yes, that my I understand your comment completely, Director Duncan. It was direction I'd given her. The reason I did that originally was because there was, at the time, there was already a lot of tension at the fact that she was not local. but in hindsight, I do acknowledge your comment, and yes, the receipt should have been there, and it shouldn't have been transferred into hours. We can always back those hours out and get those receipts. That is not an issue at all.
I'll leave it like that. I would like to see, you know, the hours worked versus, you know, whatever expenses we paid for any accommodations or airfare. As I said, you know, it's not abnormal that you pay for airfare or accommodations for a consultant, but my issue is with the lack of transparency. And if you can, you know, I don't, I'll leave it like that.
I think he clarified. I didn't see it as something being transparent, but then what sounds very clear is we should back out those hours. That's number one, right? And basically, you know, correct that.
I mm-hmm. Point of order. I just have a really problem with you contradicting how I see something. You can make a statement and say how you see it, but I view it as lack of transparency, and it's not the correct way that we businesses provide financial information, period.
My apologies on that. I'm going to just take out my last statement and just say that, you know, like corrective action needs to be done, General Manager.
Anybody else want to chime in here?
On that topic or on something else?
Oh, on the BTL, this whole issue, item.
Yes.
Item we're discussing. Go ahead.
So, Jimmy and Alex and I sat down and discussed this a really long time ago.
Director Dean, can you speak to the mic, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, yep, you got it. So Jimmy, Alex, and I sat down and spoke about this a really long time ago. It's coming up, I'd say, on a year. And at that meeting, you know, I questioned why there were these giant invoices that didn't really tell you what the heck was going on, like the jobs that were being performed. And it says in the contract that we could ask to have that done. And I don't think that was ever done. And I'd kind of like to know why that was never done. Is it because I didn't bring it to the board for three thumbs up? Is that why that never happened? I don't know. I was a youngin, right? I didn't, you know. So that's a big question I have. Or were these invoices provided?
Jimmy, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there was a change before. It was just the first page of the invoice without the task summary on the second page. So after that...
So this has been happening since that meeting?
That'd be a question for Jimmy, but I think the task pages, is that correct, Jimmy, that those have been provided since, you know, for around a year or 9 months or whatever?
Yeah, I don't remember when exactly the meeting was, but it started on July 1st is when the invoices started coming in.
All right, so that was the new fiscal year. It happened. Okay. Okay. My second thing is page 43 out of 59, number E. And this, of course, is dealing with the franchise agreement. 125 hours. So I'm wondering what that 125 hours involved. Is that the training of Janetta?
No, that's just... Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead and tell me what it is. Or tell us, sorry.
No, well, it's basically she was tasked to act on behalf of the district. She was essentially the Oraloma rep when it came to dealing with waste management items. So if you look at the contract task, it says act as liaison between the district and its hauler and obtain reports and other information as needed for the program. On the right, that specific month says coordinated with waste management local customer service representatives, dealt with billing that month, and the ops teams to identify service trends and develop resolutions. So in that 125 hours, she worked on those items. I don't know the exact specifics, but that's what it shows there.
Okay. So...
Oh, and to answer your other question, no, that line item does not include training.
Does not include. So where is the training included in all this?
Under item R on page 46. 46. Which is training that began September and ended in October.
Okay. All right. So now, here's the big one. So we had a meeting a couple of months ago, and I brought out the franchise agreement that I had read and highlighted and discovered that the schools were supposed to be paying us because they didn't have a program and they weren't in compliance. And I'm trying to understand if that was BTL's job, 75% of their job was managing that contract. Why was such an important part of that contract not being managed? I really need to hear. It makes no sense to me if that was 75% of that their job, why that part of the contract was not being managed to the tune of $350,000 a year. So if you could explain that to us, that would be awesome.
I don't necessarily agree that it wasn't being managed. It was managed in some form, perhaps not to the level that Director Dean you're speaking of, but I have personally seen her go to schools. I've seen her, all the emails that she sent out to the administrators and the staff on trainings and such. So it was there, and I'm not really sure how to answer your question on it's not being managed, because I don't believe that's a true statement from the staff side.
Okay, so then how come the schools are not in compliance? Because the franchise agreement reads they will pay us if they're not in compliance. But if they didn't know how to be in compliance because we didn't have a program, and it just doesn't make sense to me. So you're saying that the schools is a very small part of that franchise agreement? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. That's just one small piece of the entire agreement that we have to manage to provide services for all of our customers, not just schools.
Okay. And when you spoke of all these emails and work in the schools, and when did that start? Did that start 3 years ago, or did that start more along when I got elected, or when I
No, that started
was?
a long time ago, 3 years ago, when she took over the program.
All right. All right. Well, I'm having a real hard time with this, and I'm having a real hard time understanding how somebody is working 15 hours a day. So, if you're working 15 hours a day and you sleep 8 hours a day, that's 23 hours. Because that's what we got billed for on this last invoice. We got 14.6 hours, 8 hours a day. I did it at 44 days. I gave her a day off for Labor Day. I just don't understand how you work 15 hours a day. I don't know. I don't know how you do it. So I'm sorry. That's, I guess I'll stop there.
No, I was going to say, well, to me, none of these numbers make sense if the instruction was for you to bill the expenses for the airline tickets into the hours worked. This to me is not valid. So don't know. That's how I'm seeing it. If the instructions was to bill the cost of the air cost airplane costs into your hours, these hours are padded. I mean, help me understand it. I don't want to be not like making sense, but at the solid waste meeting, I said I didn't see these numbers as making sense, and I still don't. But now they make sense based on you saying you instructed her to bill her expenses into hours.
Mr. Mogg, did you want to make a comment? You were like he was
Well, I was going to say, we'd have to see if Natasha can provide, those receipts so you could back out and see how many hours.
right. And I was just going to say
No, I
these
know.
hours don't make sense.
It looks like it needs a little more work. So perhaps we can pull those out and try to make it make sense. Other than that, I have a question, and that is, what's the ultimate goal here? What is it that you want to do with this? She's no longer employed. These were requested documents which you've been provided. So what's your ultimate goal? What do you want to do? You want her to give money back? I don't understand.
Oh, I
No, I'm
for
just asking because I want to understand what we're trying to
and
do
I'm
here.
trying to answer. For me, it's just the understanding that, we paid out a whole bunch of money, and I don't see the services that were provided, period. But maybe it'll look different once the numbers are backed out. I don't know. But I just know a year ago when we did an assessment, we were told, well, sorry, there's not, you really don't have a school program. I'm like, okay. And then I was told, well, we have an online program. Okay. So I guess it's just to make the point that we have paid almost a quarter of $1 million, and we have, well, I'll take that back. We have a trained person. I'll take that back.
Yeah, I would like to add that based on, I have seen some of the receipts, based on the dollar amount and her hourly rate, we're talking about an adjustment of up to maybe 20 hours on that last line item. But again, I will get the receipts and everything and back those hours out.
Would be helpful, I think, for everybody to understand.
That's
Is
no
there more
problem.
that you, I'm sorry.
You didn't.
Your ultimate, but just it was the ultimate. I'm asking the whole board, what is the ultimate goal? And Director Dean, you brought this to the board, so I wanted to find out what your ultimate goal is.
My ultimate goal was, I just really felt like we needed to look at this, and I feel like there hasn't been transparency, and I need to see what's going on, because I feel like it's my job. to make sure I know what's happening with our different contractors. And I know, you know, we had that episode at that meeting in May, and then we had the letter. And I feel like there's not enough here. There's not enough here to satisfy me that all this stuff was done, especially since the fact that I know people at all the schools and tons of the principals and office managers and teachers told me there was no program in the schools, that a letter was given. One person said, I think I remember a letter that was given to us 2 years ago. So that's where I come from. I come from, I get told one thing on a piece of paper and I get we get charged for it. But in reality, it's not happening. So I want reality to match what we're paying for. And I don't like paying for things that we're not getting.
I heard all that the first time. My question for you was, what's your ultimate goal? What do you want this board to do? And what do you want us to do with this information?
I want you to be aware of it.
Okay, so we're now aware. He's Good. Going to, the general manager is going to try to back out the documents that you've asked for regarding the hours, and then we'll look at it again, I suppose. Or we'll be able to share it with you. I mean, she doesn't work here any longer.
Yes.
And we've tried to start a whole new program now around the schools and communication. So if he backs out that information and finds it for you, will that satisfy your thirst? I mean, I know that you, sorry. So I just want to make sure what we can do to make you happy with this so we don't have to talk about it again.
I don't need to hear talk about this again.
Okay.
This is it.
We will look at whatever
yep.
he can back out. He can send to the board to explain the hours and how it was handled. Does that work? Mr. Mogg, do you have anything to add that would help us try to sort this out?
No.
Mr. Dang, do you think you have enough to help us sort this out?
I do. Thank you very much.
Okay. Is there anybody online who would wish to speak to this item? Hopefully not. I do still see someone named Michael and Matt Turner. So if you have any comments you want to make on anything we discuss, you need to indicate with the raised hand feature. Okay, so if there's nothing more to add to this item and there's no action taken, we'll move to item 8.2, the review of the bank credit card statements. This is also your request, Director Dean.
Yep.
Dang, do you want to make your comments? Overview.
Yes, at Director Dean's request, she asked staff and the board, not just her request, the board gave her the thumbs up
sure.
to add the previous bank statement on to this board agenda for discussion. I believe that the focus was on food purchases, Director Dean. And just to remind the board, I do have the audit that I owe the board in the month of March, which is now, and I am reviewing it, and the board should be getting that audit by the end of this week. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions on the credit card statements that the board wishes to discuss.
Thank you. I think, Director Duncan, you were the one that brought up the food purchases, weren't you?
Yeah, but he's going to do a report on that. But I always, in the finance meeting, I look at the credit cards statements. So
you're good with what we presented here?
I have no additional comments other than what I made at the finance meeting.
Okay.
And he said that the report that he's developing for the expenditures for food would get it later this week or next week.
Okay.
So
this is your subject.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was kind of eye-opening going to the finance committee and just learning all this different stuff. So I was just kind of curious. Like, all right, whose card is this? I don't know. Let's say William Halstead. Harry's Hofbrow. Was that his retirement party?
I'm sorry, can you speak up, Director Dean?
Harry's Hofbrow, $329.34 on 112.
And what page are you looking at?
I'm looking at page 48 out of 59.
48.
And it looks like it's Bill's credit card.
Oh, whose credit card?
Because
look
it
at
says,
the top.
I think
it
that was
says right
his,
there,
I,
Bill.
yeah, I believe that was his going away retirement party.
And it was on his credit card? All right. All right. So is so all right then, for instance, then like Manor Grill, whose card is this? Oh, that's Jimmy Dang. Manor Grill. Flavors of India. What are those? Are those like you took somebody out to lunch or
Yeah, so one of those was a meeting with Bill Halstead to wrap up his work. The other one was with City of San Leandro treatment plant manager.
right on. All right, those sound good. All right. And then what's all the whose card is this? Patricia, Instacart. What is all this stuff? Amazon Instacart. Is that just
Yeah.
like the treats, the what is all that stuff?
So that's
I'm not
basically
delivering anymore. Yeah, based on board direction.
that's everything you're consuming on your desk currently gets delivered via Instacart now. She no longer runs out and gets any food.
Right, so are we realizing a savings because Patricia doesn't have to go out and get it? Instacart is cheaper, is that correct?
We haven't done that analysis, but the food audit from last year is, again, I need to QC that. And once I'm done with it, you'll have nice analytics to look at for the last year.
All right. DoorDash, I see a DoorDash on 19. Panera Bread, is that a board meeting?
That was for panel interviews when we had hosted a panel interview for the district engineer position, I believe. And so we had several panelists and we DoorDashed in lunch for them since it was an all-day
All
panel.
right. All right, so that's what a lot of these things are. And then, like, Amazon is just a normal place that we shop at all the time. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. All right. I would like to know if it's indeed true that it seems like it would be cheaper to DoorDash or Instacart or, well, thinking about how much the senior coffee thing cost us with your time, how much we had to pay you, that was like around $800. That's wasn't it 967, that invoice? 867? It was something crazy. Yeah, it was really high and I was blown out of the water by it. So that's kind of where all this came from. I was like in shock that bringing $160 worth of pastries cost us like $800. And that's how it was explained to me, that it was your salary, your benefits, and your
Burden
retirement.
cost of
That's what I'm just thinking. Like, if DoorDash costs us $50, that's way cheaper than $800, right? So I'm really curious. And I just think, this might sound crazy, but I think there are ways for us to save money. And I think, Patricia, we have way more important things for you to do than go shopping for us. Thank you. This is very enlightening. I appreciate it.
You're
Okay,
welcome.
anybody else?
Director Simon.
So I just have a question. Policy purchases.
Microphone.
Do we have a policy for food purchases, whether it's Harry's Hoofbrow or Safeway or the Indian food or other places?
I don't believe we do.
Well, the only policy that we have, if say for instance, if like for the interview, the names of the individuals who were in the interview should be on the in on the invoice, the same as if Jimmy goes and has lunch with, for whatever reason, San Leandro people, their name should be put on there. I mean, it's standard procedure, I thought, for
And confirming Director Duncan's comment, they are on there. Yes.
and so, if you want to see an audit, I think you're going to be in much true. Oh, I'm sorry. I just thought it was I won't say what I was going to say. I thought it was one of the processes that you do when you're spending districts' money, that if you are inviting someone for, you're paying for someone's meal, you note the person's name and their affiliation, and you attach that with your expense to be reimbursed. So that's the only policy piece that I know. But no, we don't have a limit on what can be spent, to my knowledge. It could be one of those policies that we have yet to review.
Okay, I was just curious. I didn't know if you're taking someone out from another agency to buy lunch, that's okay. Or if you're just out with your employees, you want to buy lunch, is that okay? I just don't know what's okay and what's not okay.
So we need a policy?
I'm just asking, does it exist? I know from my past work experience, I know what was okay and what was not okay, but I don't know what it is here. That's what I'm just asking. So we should probably define that so we all know what's okay. So there's no
question. I think defining it is one thing. Trying to put a limit on it is another thing. I mean, when you hire...
I think just defining.
A lot of it is logic, don't you think? A lot of it is...
No, I would not depend on somebody's logic.
So you wouldn't trust our manager to take someone to lunch for a business reason?
No, what? I'm sorry. I was taking it broadly when you're saying depend on logic.
Right. Well, I'm not sure that you want to have a prescriptive policy that says exactly what someone can do. I mean, if you want to have a policy definition, I don't have a problem with that.
I guess for me, the word logic is like, I think things sometimes should be a little prescriptive.
Yes, Director Lee?
Well, I just wanted to mention a couple of things, right? Whether it's the credit cards or the check registers, right? Obviously, the Finance Committee does review this, but when these minutes come out, you can always send take a look at it and send a email to the general manager regarding questions. So, you know, like while you may not comment at the Finance Committee because of the Brown Act, you still have the ability to send a email message asking questions on the check register or any of these items.
Okay. Anything more? So do we want to have some discussion at some point about a policy around expenses? I don't understand what we want to do. Yes, Director?
I'll just add to that, right? We do have, you know, like expense and food travel. Maybe perhaps we need to amend that policy, right? Just for clarification purposes and identify appropriateness with it. So that is my suggestion.
And a policy for that policy.
Those are food expenses related to travel only.
Oh, no, I know.
Which is what Director Lee, so yeah. If there is a direction from the board to develop a policy on credit card usage, including food purchases, you know, it sounds like there's it.
I think
we don't already have one.
Not.
Okay. So maybe we put that on the list somewhere down around here, since we have a lot of work. But yes, a policy. Okay, you got that, Mr. Dang?
Yes, my understanding is the board would like staff to start working on the policy on credit cards, purchases related to food.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay, got it.
Hey, if there's nothing more on 8.2, Director Simon will move for your 8.3 participation.
Thank you. I received an email from Morgan MacRose, the head of the San Leandro Downtown Association. I forwarded that to Jimmy to confirm with Waste Management that we could attend if Waste Management attends. And Jimmy, can you read that email and provide confirmation if you have it, please?
Yeah, so we reached out to Waste Management and their response was they will attend if the district directs them to attend.
Say that again.
The response we got back from Waste Management was that they will attend the event if the district directs them to attend the event.
I'm not prepared to direct them to go. I mean, if they were going to be there, what your suggestion originally, Fred, was that the board itself go without putting staff to more work. We already have 18 lists of things to do. I'll be through in a minute. If I don't think it's our place to force Waste Management to go and table, it's an expensive item. That's my two cents.
Okay, that's new to me. That's why I asked Jimmy to confirm. That wasn't told to me. Jimmy, can you read? I don't have that email. Can you read the email out so the board can hear it?
Your email?
Yes, from Morgan McRose. Can you read that, please?
Yeah, can you give me a minute while I dig it up?
Sure.
Jimmy, I have it if you want it.
Okay, can you please read it, Patricia?
How about you read it?
Certainly.
He's sick.
Yeah, save your voice. Okay. Hi, Fred. Thank you for your continued support of this event. Here are the answers to your questions. One, this is a chicken or egg kind of situation. Waste Management will attend and have a booth if Ora Loma adds the Cherry Festival to its list of events in which Ora Loma will participate with or without staff. There would be no cost to Ora Loma if Waste Management attends. Two, if Ora Loma participates but Waste Management does not, the cost for a booth is $150 plus a $50 refundable cleaning deposit. However, if you add the Cherry Festival to your list of events, we can waive the fee. Three, yes, Ora Loma can participate in the parade regardless of whether it participates in the festival. That's it.
Duncan?
It can only cost $150 for us to participate.
Well, that's what the cost to put your stuff on their property. That doesn't
Doesn't pay
include
for
this.
the, right, the employees.
No,
The space.
we already made
We
the
are the staff,
decision
yeah.
that we weren't adding that burden on staff. For some reason, I heard that San Leandro was losing money because Waste Management wasn't attending.
I will also
If
provide
they're losing
clarification.
$150, oh well.
I believe Waste Management told us that because they're a platinum sponsor of the Cherry Festival event, one of the perks is free space, which they would offer to us or provide for this tabling event, as well as, meeting with us, being, in front of the city council, for recognition. So
How
that was
much
our
does it stand
understanding.
without Waste Management?
For 150, and then it's, Waste Management has a free space due to their sponsorship that they would, use
But
for
Waste
this.
Management doesn't plan to have a tabling event. They are
Correct.
just a platinum sponsor, which means they
Correct.
give them a check for their
Correct.
name being placed on a lot of boards.
Yeah, the original plan was to sponsor and to forgo the free space.
Right.
Correct.
All right, so the question I have, Jimmy, so we must direct them. Is there a certain number of events that we direct them to attend already? And does this exceed the number of events? This exceeds it. So this would cost us extra if we directed them? Or could it cost us extra?
By cost, do you mean, so like I mentioned at a previous meeting, Virginia had said that for this year, for the calendar year, they were setting a limit to four events to partner with us for tabling. Once we got the 18 approved by the board, we sent them the list. We asked them for certain ones that we would be interested in having them table with us. There were six there, they agreed to five of those on the list. So cost wise, if you're saying, does it cost us one event, and so we'll drop one,
Okay,
or run away?
contractually, do they give us four? Is there something contractually that
There's no contractual
no.
obligation.
This is a resource management item essentially for Waste Management. We were working with them, collaborating with them. I was like, hey, can we help each other out? And can you help us? Because when they show up with their booth, sometimes we don't have to show up with our booth. We just show up with people. So this saved time, this saved effort. You're correct, Director Simon. There is no contractual limit on how many they participate in, but that was the discussion that staff had with them as soon as the 18 events were decided on.
Okay, and it sounds like just so to confirm, they don't want to attend. We have to direct them to attend. That's the situation.
That's correct.
Okay, and staff's recommendation is not to direct them to attend. Got it. Okay.
Can I just pop something up to you, Fred? And I don't want a huge, long drawn out argument about this, but why are we doing the Castro Valley Festival? The people that go to the festival, what's it called? Is it
Fall
the
Festival.
festival? Generally speaking, are not the people that we represent in any of our San Lorenzo and San Leandro. Maybe some are,
I
but the
would
majority are
wrong.
not.
No,
That's wrong.
wrong.
Well,
Fairview.
Fairview is one area. It
Oh, well,
doesn't do.
really, San Leandro. Never
Think
mind.
it's. I think it could be comparable. I think there's a mix for
Well,
San
that the
Leandro.
Castro Valley Fall Festival is a 2-day event. It's going to cost us a ton of money with staff and equipment. Why don't we swap the Cherry Festival for the festival?
If it's a 2-day event,
Here we
wait.
go again. I thought we had decided
I
on
thought we had
this.
too. So why are we discussing the Cherry Festival then?
Because it was brought
Because I
up.
asked you, can I ask a question? So I didn't know we were going to 2 days of Castro Valley Fall. We're going to 2 days. I didn't know that.
That's typically like not the agreement, and we didn't ask the question, but it was our understanding. We did reach out last year to say, is it a 2-day commitment? Like, if you're signed up, are you expected to participate in both days? And the answer was yes.
Okay, I didn't know it was a 2-day festival.
A 2 days, about 8 hours
Is
each
that
day.
the only event that's 2 days?
Correct.
So double the cost of any other event. Okay, I didn't know that.
Doesn't sound like we're going to do the Cherry Festival.
Not if we're directing waste management, and unless, and I'm just throwing an idea out here, unless we did a day of Castro Valley and a day of, can't do 1 day.
Oh.
I'm just
We discussed
I'm
that.
just talking.
Well, and I'm just saying,
Okay.
we're backtracking and it's wasting.
Although my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, when we've been discussing the community events, since Cherry Festival was originally on the list and Fall Festival was not, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought the board had kind of agreed softly that we would alternate. So like
That's right,
every,
Patricia.
you know, so definitely it's not like Cherry Festival is going away forever.
I hear you.
You know,
I
because I know you obviously have a heart for San Leandro.
right.
So yeah, we were hoping to keep both in the mix, but not in the same year because it is a very heavy load, and it's a pretty exhaustive. Matt Turner.
Well, that's when.
Oh.
He'd help us? Is that what that said? I couldn't read that fast.
May I read the chat?
Yes,
Sure.
please. God, excuse me.
Yes.
I would be happy to sponsor and host a Fall Festival booth for OLSD. That's the comment. Yeah, we will be at Fall Festival, to clarify, Mr. Turner.
Okay, I think this has been exhausted, this item. So we got the message. Waste management will not attend unless directed, essentially, which means that cost. So,
And I will both be at the Cherry Festival anyway, so we'll try to put on our Oraloma hats. So can we move on from this subject now?
I have a
Oh, you want to comment? Go
yes.
ahead.
So, first of all, this was already said before that I had a conversation with data people from the Castro Valley Eden Area Chamber of Commerce. 2/3 of our population does not live in San Leandro. And about 50% of the people that attend the fall festival are from our service area. That's what they told me. That's what the Castro Valley Chamber of Commerce told me. So, and you know, 2/3 of our population is unincorporated and Hayward. It's not San Leandro. So it's not really fair to say that nobody goes to that.
I didn't say nobody. Well, you're putting words in my mouth, Mimi. I can't
Okay.
let you do that.
Okay. So maybe you didn't say nobody, but the way you said it, you were very against you
I
just.
wasn't against it. I was trying to convince Fred that we could swap one for the other, but we can't do both. That's all.
Well, and that leads to my next thing, which prior to this calendar of events, the tours. And I brought this up when we voted on those 18 events. And I said, prior to this, the plant tours were never included on the events. And I brought it up as an issue. And people didn't want to hear what I said, but it's reality. The tours were never, our website says we do 4 tours a year. That's what it says. And they were never counted on this list. And now they've been put on this list. So Sheila, actually, we could do the Cherry Festival and the Fall Festival, because if we took off one of those events, like, for instance, I'm like kind of have a curious question about the landlord event that's happening in Santa Clara soon. How many of our landlords from here do we think are going to be there? Do we have any data on that?
No, but that's not on our All right. for discussion.
Okay, but I just wanted to say it because I want it on the record. I want it in the comments so I can hear it when I transcribe this. And then as far as directing waste management, in the franchise agreement, it says that Perla does 20 hours a week. That's multifamily homes and commercial. And then the other 20 hours a week is at our direction. That's what the franchise, that's what it says. No, you disagree?
I'll read it again. It does not say at our direction.
Okay, read it.
That's also not on our agenda tonight.
I'll send the email with that.
Send her an email, let her read it.
It's related to this.
It is not related to Fred's request for a Cherry Festival. We've already discussed that. And it's after 7 o'clock and we have a very long agenda.
This is related to it because he was talking about directing waste management to do stuff. This
well,
is
we're
about
not going to do. Please,
can you hear what Alex has to say? If it can be done quickly.
So it says the recycling coordinator shall allocate 40 hours per week to the district, of which 20 hours per week of outreach activities to the Sorry, let me say that again. The recycling coordinator shall allocate 40 hours per week to the district, of which 20 hours per week of outreach activities to the district's commercial slash industrial customers in the L3 area. The recycling coordinator may also perform other recycling related activities as requested by the district.
So explain to us what that means if it's not what I just said.
At no point of this is us directing what they do.
We could request it. We don't
sure,
have to
we could absolutely
it.
Request
it. Use the wrong word, requesting. We can request. So we could request her 20 hours be spent at the Cherry Festival. Not direct, request.
Sure, and they have said, we are happy to fulfill that request and we will take off something else that she, another event. That was their response. That they are happy to go to the event if you want and they will take off one of the other events that they have agreed to go to.
But all right, this goes deeper. This goes into, so what are we requesting that she does with those 20 hours? But I know it's a different conversation, Sheila. I'll shut up.
We're going to be discussing that soon.
Yes, we are. Yes.
Okay, so Fred, are we good? I'll see you at the Cherry Festival. All right. We have a number of items left, but it's after 7. I want to take a 5-minute break, please.
Take my break. when we got there on that Tuesday, the Democratic delegation scheduled a retreat, I guess, to combat some of the things that Trump was doing. But anyway, the CASA priorities are to promote continued infrastructure investment in the clean water sector, and then develop a PFAS approach focused on pretreatment and the polluter pay. Support efforts to address improper flushing of single-use wet wipes. And we almost, that has already passed the House of Representatives, and we're waiting for the Senate. And then the other is support modernization of our NPDES permits. Again, that has passed the House of Representatives, and it's waiting for consideration from the Senate. And the next priorities is support local agency efforts to address cyber security concerns. And then we, gave a history that CASA has been in operation for 70 years. But then we met with the EPA, and what we did with the EPA was to, again, talk about our priority, and most particular, the focus on pretreatment and the polluters pay principle. And they used the case study of New York. It's what the new biosolid person has done. I always say her name wrong. Malia? Yeah. Anyway, our path forward is what we shared with the EPA was we wanted them to help us to maintain existing protective policies, manage PFAS at the source, invest in innovations, and support regional biosolid management. And so we spent the 2 hours with them talking about what that looks like, and I won't go into it, but I will share this information with Patricia so she can provide you with a copy. And then what was really interesting is that one of the presenters was John Watts, who was the chief of staff for Feinstein. He now works for Padella. And so it makes us all happy that Northern California still has some representation, because he supported Dianne Feinstein for so long. We then had a meeting or presentation with the Hawthorne Group and Cook, the polar guys that do the forecasting. And they're saying that the Senate is going, for this upcoming election, the Senate is going to maintain their Republican status, and they feel that the Democrats will gain the House. So that's my presentation. I know it was what was really interesting, and I probably shouldn't say this, is to see these two guys try to out talk each other, Cook and Hawthorne. But the aides that we met were they look like a deer in the headlights, because things change every day. Every day for them. But it was still a busy, busy capital, even with, the snow and all of that. And it was really interesting. So I have lots of material for you. Okay.
Thank you for the material you've done on safety.
Yeah, I was really, really happy.
Okay, we're going to move on now to. Item 10 is the policy review. 10.1 is a review of the state service and or economic, which we spoke of earlier.
President Young, can you turn your mic, please?
Oh, I hate it when I do that. Policy review. Review of the sewer service and or AB 939 recycling charge refund policy. 10.1, Mr. Dang.
Yes, so This is a policy that directs staff on how to issue refunds when there's a mistaken billing on the tax roll for both the sewer service charge and the recycling charge. As of 2024, we've since moved the recycling charge over to direct billing with waste management. So that portion of this policy will no longer apply after 4 years. So we added that note under scope on the very last item on page 52 that states, for AB 939, refunds will only be issued through June 30 of 2028, as recycling charges have been transferred to the haulers billing as of July 1st of 2024. The rest of it still is completely relevant. There are times where the county may charge a homeowner two properties, three properties on the same property, and we'll get and then county will send us the proceeds, and then we'll get a call from the customer saying, "Hey, why did you bill me three times for the same parcel?" And so we'll investigate it. We'll find out, hey, Alameda County did in fact bill extra when they shouldn't have. And so this procedure is what we do to issue the refund for the two additional charges that the homeowner should not have been charged. So that's what this policy is about.
Okay. Questions, comments on the changes? If there are, go ahead, Director Duncan.
I have no comments. Didn't that just happen? I saw a refund. Yes.
Yes, that was on the
Yeah.
check register. You caught it,
Right.
absolutely.
I caught it.
But that's exactly the process that would happen.
Right. Okay.
Good catch.
Thank you.
All right. If there are no additional questions, I would look for a motion to approve the attached refined version of this policy.
Director Liso moved.
Somebody.
I will second.
Thank you, Director Duncan. Have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. Motion carries five ayes. Thank you very much. Item 10.2 is a review of use of district and personal vehicles, personal insurance requirements, and mileage reporting policy. Mr. Dang.
Yeah, so this policy deals with exactly that, use of district and personal vehicles for work purposes. So it states that essentially only one person, well, two, has an assigned vehicle. One is our collection system manager, and the other one is the on-call employee for collections. And this essentially spells out that if they can only use it for district business only, if they're assigned the vehicle. The other portion of this, which is on the procedure under B, is if we were to use personal vehicles, for example, engineering may be running a project and they obviously aren't assigned the vehicle, so they have to come back or go to a site maybe on the weekend or whatever the case is with their personal vehicle, that it states here that they must maintain a minimum insurance requirement as deemed by the state. And in addition, they must be reimbursed for their mileage because they're using their personal vehicle for business purposes. So that's what this policy is about.
Thank you. And I just have a quick question, just a reminder question, I guess. It's as far as I can remember, any employee who is employed by the district has to have a driver's license, legal driver's license, correct? Isn't
Correct.
it? Jeanette is shaking her head, yes. Just wanted to make sure because it's not listed in the policy, but it wouldn't have to be because it's required on employment. Okay. Questions about this policy? Comments? If I don't see any comments, then I would entertain a motion to approve the
Director Lee, so moved.
A second. Aye.
Aye.
And finally, 10.3 review of use of district vehicle while on standby policy. That sort of speaks for itself, but would you like to address it, Mr. Dang?
Yeah, this is the deeper dive into the on-call assigned vehicle to one of the collections workers. It essentially states that because we have a policy to respond to overflows or emergencies as quick as possible outside the work hours. The standby collections worker can only use it to respond to those. In addition, they can only use it for work purposes to and from the district and, of course, around their community to get to their home. And there is one exclusion is that if they needed to use the vehicle to respond or an emergency situation, and that's the only way they can transport their family members to safety, that's the only time they can ever put a family member or anyone from the public in the vehicle with them. But aside from that, family cannot accompany them to a call out or anything. It's strictly for excuse me. It's strictly for the collections worker to respond to district business while on call.
Thank you. Questions, comments?
Do. How do we monitor this? You know that people.
Hear the question, Mr. Dang.
I'm sorry, was there a
The
question?
question was from Director Duncan. How do we monitor?
That's a good
Turn it
question.
off.
We don't necessarily monitor it, but if there were something to happen, if something were to happen, we do have ca exterior cameras on the vehicles, and we'll pull that footage if there's an accident or anything like that. Short of knowing exactly what happened, the next step to identify where the employees are is to install GPS systems on the vehicle. But
And that
aside
was
from
going to be
that,
my
there's no
next
other way.
question.
I'm
We don't
sorry?
have those on the vehicle.
We do not have GPS on vehicles, no.
Is it costly?
I have to look into it, but GPS on vehicles have been this. My understanding is that topic was discussed in the past with prior management, and that is a term within the employment agreement. If they were to be tracked, that's a discussion point in the MOUs. That's my understanding. I wasn't part of that conversation, but that's my understanding of the background behind GPS.
I just
But of
see.
course, the board can always, ha ask for the discussion and all of those things. And
I just wondered how do we monitor the guys in the field? That's all.
We do participate in the DMV program, pull program, which is where we do monitor employees' driver's license as well. So if anything were to happen, we get notified pretty quickly. And then if, for whatever reason, they don't have valid driver's license, they would also not be able to use our vehicles.
okay. I just, I won't be petty. With the price of gas going up, where are you? It's fine. That's all. I just know that some companies do have those systems on their cars. Period. That's all.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, then I would, anybody else have any comments? Then I would look for a motion to approve the use of this.
Director Lee, so moved.
Second.
Have a motion and a second to approve this review and change. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye, byes. Motion passes. Thank you very much. All right. We're going to move on to item 11, staff and director comments. We'll do this now rather than after the closed session so that the rest of the staff can go home. Alex, do you have anything for the good of the order? Mr. Dang, do you have anything for the good of the order?
Yeah, just a reminder to the board that next week at the workshop will be a very deep dive into waste management contract and services that they provide, and it'll give the board plenty of opportunity to ask all the questions they would like to the actual service provider directly. So that's all I have. Thank you. And thank you for allowing me to attend remotely. I certainly
Of course,
wouldn't
I
want to
hope
get
you.
anyone sick.
Are we going to get the materials ahead of time from Waste Management? Okay, thanks.
Director Simon.
Thank you, staff, as always, for the nice work. And members of the public, Michael, thank you for attending. Matt Turner as well. And also,
and our new engineer.
And also our food. Appreciate the food that was put together for us. It was very nice. Thank you.
I have two things that I'd like to explore. You know, I feel like we've had our KPIs. I think I brought this up before, that I really believe in rubrics that span from like 0 to 5 or 0 to 10 when we're evaluating ourselves. I think it gives us a better picture than just a red, yellow, or green. That's kind of like what, 1, 2, or 3, right? So I would like to bring that, I would like to see if I could get 3 thumbs up to explore the idea of moving our KPIs to a larger rubric that we can actually help us, it will help us understand better. Because I just feel like a lot of times I see things that are green and I'm like, that really shouldn't be green. That should be somewhere between green and yellow. Can I get 3 thumbs up on exploring moving to a rubric? Or,
yeah, can I?
Yes, please.
If you're talking about whether or not we're getting any information from green, yellow, red, if that's included, not necessarily that the decision will be a rubric, but I think that we should discuss it, the KPIs.
I'd like to discuss the KPIs and how we could use it to, you know, do a better job. Can I get 3 thumbs on that to discuss it? Thank you. All right. One more.
Of course.
One more. Actually, I have so many more, but I'm only going to say 2.
Go ahead.
So I don't know. I know we record the meetings. We have audio. Do we also do a Zoom AI transcription? So I would like to, because Zoom will transcribe this using AI. And I was wondering if we could have a discussion around that, because I would find that very valuable to be able to not have to listen to the whole meeting, but to be able to like look at it digitally and read it. So I'd like to be able to have a discussion on that, if we could discuss moving to that. So in other words, our meetings would be transcribed in writing, not just audio. Yes, no, maybe so. Please.
Fine question. Does this relate to retention also? Because right now we only keep it for what, 30 days of audio? I mean, 90 days?
We said a year.
Oh, it's up to a year now.
No, we changed that already.
Good, 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 good.
Okay. You forgot.
I forgot.
And yes, and Fred, I would like it to not only be transcribed, but I'd like to also have it for all meetings, because when I went to the solid waste meeting and when I went to the financial meeting, it's a whole different thing when you read the minutes from the meeting than when you're actually in the meeting. It's a completely different thing. And I think we should all have that information. If we want to hear it, I think we should have it. And AI will transcribe it. I don't understand. Is it a big deal? Patricia, do you think it's a big deal?
I think it is. You know, personally,
I just don't think
we should be.
Yeah. So
if you want to discuss it, then there's possibility. Then doesn't mean you're committing to it, but then you should get thumbs up, and it could be put on a formal agenda for you to discuss whether you want to do it, whether for which meetings, if you want to do it for some, for all.
So that's up to the board.
I'm open to discuss.
Clearly, you have a majority for that as well. Anything else, Director Dean?
No, thank you.
A good meeting. It's nice to see you. And thank you again for the food, Patricia. And it's always good to see you, Janetta. You have that wonderful smile. And thank you for weighing in, Jimmy, although you're ill. Appreciate it. And Alex, You're on next, huh?
No, I give Director Lee an opportunity.
I know. I'm just instead of me saying, Alex, it's good to see you because you were sick last time. I just said you're on next, okay?
I'm glad you recovered, and speedy recoveries to our general manager. And thank you for all the great work that you do.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would like to thank Ostris for sitting through this entire meeting. Now you know what we do on Tuesday nights. Thank you to Chatu for also hanging around. Michael, whoever you are. And thank you, Lily, for also attending tonight. I have nothing from.
I'm grateful. And I wish Rita was present because she always made the meetings go 2 hours.
Well, I would challenge you to do that with this board.
I want to change.
All right. So that will conclude the regular agenda meeting, and we will now move to session. And ask all unnecessary, that's not the right word. All essential personnel may stay and the rest of you can leave. So we'll wait for, wait until we clear the room, Ostris.
Yes.
Don't get excited.
No.